continuously stamp awareness, see, on your forehead. See, we don't get it. You don't know what you are. And part of the mistake I think that I have made, see, as I thought people were getting it. I thought when I said, do you see what I'm seeing here? Do you see this? See, and in the Tibetan form, they talk about the view. See, and the view isn't some kind of esoteric thing someplace else. It's right in front of you. See, but if you conceptualize that, what you're experiencing, see, is the separation. See, when we talk about mind and mind only, see, you think in terms of mind that's going on behind your eyeballs. Right now, some of you are still talking to yourself. Now, are you aware that you constantly talk to yourself? See, and I'm going to bring up some stuff here I haven't looked closely to, so we'll stumble around. But see, the old masters, Maizumi Roshi, always said, see, and most of us aren't even aware of we're trapped, see, in the intellectualizing mind. When you're trapped in your concepts, when you're trapped in your conditioning, your sense of duality, see, and we're not even aware of that. See, if you don't actually apply yourself to the practice, see, and by the way, you're not going to experience great enlightenment, see, unless you can forget the self. I don't care what kind of magical charms you use. I don't care what kind of psychedelics you take. Hey, I'm an old hippie. See, you will not free yourself from the egocentric mind with anything other than right effort. See, and the Buddha laid out the pathway. And that's what we rebel against. See, now Roshi taught that we have a practice known as the paramitas. Paramita means to have reached the other shore. Now see if we can follow this. The other shore, the six perfections. These are the perfections, see, of an actualized sentient being. I'm not going to say a Buddha or even a Bodhisattva, because what was the Buddha? The Shakyamuni Buddha was a sentient being. A Bodhisattva is what? An actualizing sentient being. Everyone in this room is a sentient being. See? But there is a difference. See? There is a difference. Now, the six paramitas, see? Generosity. And there'll be different translations for the word, slightly different. But this is close enough to what Roshi, there's one or two here. See? The paramita, generosity. Dana, if we want to. Generosity. See? Morality. Patience, energy, see, meditation and wisdom. See, now, however you understand these, you can't actually actualize them. You can't truly realize their meaning, see, trapped in your dualistic mind. See, and you know why? See, dana, see, the paramita of generosity. See, you can only act from a generous perspective, so long as there is no threat to yourself or that you get recognition. So, oh no, it's that way. Absolutely, it's that way. Absolutely, it's that way. So long as you come from a dualistic perspective, see, you always have a territory to perfect, to protect. See, so long as you are right now in there behind your eyeballs, see, starting, and remember, you give yourself this talk, you're going to define the words according to your conditioning. And your conditioning, your belief system, is always wrong. See, not sometimes wrong, partially, always wrong. Because it has, from the infinite past, been based upon duality. And duality, see, this is the problem, see. Now, practice is where we begin to realize this. practices where we begin to go beyond the limitations of this physical world that we inhabit here. The physical world as determined by the six senses. See, the one book that I talked about the other day is a scientist, because many of these cutting-edge scientists are now meditators. See, and realizing the world that we feel is concrete, hard reality. His whole point is we don't see reality. See, we see in a sense what we're conditioned to see. And this is very consistent with our practice. See, and I've talked about this from slightly different perspectives. See, you and I, we experience this, and there is a consensual understanding. And I will say consensual mind. See, and what is mind? Experience. Experience. You can have no experience outside of your mind. So we can actually begin to say experience is synonymous with mind, because that's all you ever have is experience. See, now, see, even though we know where the stairwell is, even though we know where the windows are, even though we know where the cushions are, each one of us experiences this in a slightly different way. There is agreement, but there is also disagreement. See, if, and watch some of yourselves, if you don't get the right place to sit on a cushion, you have to change it, or you get upset, and you get upset. And if you try, say, oh, I never get upset, of course you do. See, some of you come into the room, and all you bring in is anger. See, each one of us, see, is conditioned to experience this amazing world of oneness in a slightly different way. And what we're looking at, see, what we are looking at, see, is also not accurate. See, a dog come in here, dog's going to experience this reality in a different way, through scent, through hearing, that we don't have. A snake come in here and will experience this through heat, see, through the six senses. And again, understand all of this is empty. Empty, see. And again, the two major thrusts of Bodhidharma, emptiness and no self. And that'll sound negative to you, because you have not experienced or actualized what they're talking about here. See, if you want to break down what we are, see, you put an electromicroscope on us. See, you start breaking down. What you are is a combination, see, of cells, subatomic particles, see, atoms. See, that's what you're about. See, but you don't see it that way. The six senses, you organize it. See, for our ability to function at this level. See, and we accept this as a reality, even though the change is taking place here, literally, at almost infinite speed. Avatamsaka Sutra said, think about what you're looking into right now. Do you get this? 7,000 times a second. The change is taking place. Put the electron microscope on us, go down, all of a sudden we see literally millions of cells being born and dying, change constantly taking place. That's what is occurring here. Now you say, well, that's old-time religion. No, modern cutting-edge physics says decimal point 43. Can you imagine? I can't even imagine that. 43 zeros to a one. That's how fast it's turning. And the scientist I was reading who was talking about this, he said, don't even try to imagine that. You can't imagine it. Some of us are so deluded, I've had people say, yes, I can. That much delusion is what keeps you from seeing anything. As he said, that is almost infinitely fast. That's emptiness. That's emptiness. And what do we carry around in our head right now behind your eyeballs? All of your fantasy world, your conditioned belief system. See, your beliefs are wrong. See, you only have one experience. That's the experience of now. See, we don't truly realize, see, what we are. We only realize what we think we are. Now, Dogen Zenji says, and here we talked about it, the other shore is already reached. What kind of a shore are we talking about here? The Buddha talks about the realm of samsara and the realm of the Buddha mind, nirvana. See, and here's where I've had a problem with the way some of the teachers talk about it. And I have to say, in some instances, I was disturbed the way my teacher would talk about it. And what I had to do, I had to fall back into his teaching, because when I would question him about certain other teachers, some of his own successors, rather than trying to explain something to me or give me his rationalization for why certain things are that way, he'd simply say to me, "Nyogen, take care of your own practice. Take care of your own practice." I scream this at Mushoku continuously. Take care of your own practice. And some of you, see, you hear, I say the same. Take care of your own practice. See, if you actually begin to get a glimmer, see, of what this practice is, you cannot leave that place where you are. And there is nothing outside of it. And the scientists say this too. So now, let me try to clarify. You can read, you can hear this, you've heard this. There is absolutely no separation between, see, samsara, pain and suffering, the delusional state, and nirvana, the Buddha mind, the Buddha, see, mind. See, no difference whatsoever. They're all saying that. See, but if it's not clarified what they're saying, see, is in its essence, there is no difference. In its essence, there is no difference between samsara, see, and nirvana. In its essence. And that should be stressed. I've talked with a few of them on this. I've been talking with Hoso in this, see. Let me use a metaphor. The ocean. See, now when whatever experience I had, see, there weren't books when I worked with Roshi. There weren't books. I wasn't using not much to read. Roshi was, and Dana Fraser and a few of them were doing translations for us. See, but that was one of the ways that I experienced. If I wanted to talk about my experience, I had to use a metaphor. The ocean. Now, see, samsara and nirvana. The ocean. Okay. You sail, don't you? Sometimes the ocean is beautiful, it's nurturing, it's life-giving, right? And can it turn into a hell realm that rips things to pieces, destroys, sweeps over islands, drowns people? Those two conditions are not the same, but at essence, they're the same. It's still the ocean. Now, because in this mind and mind only, there's cognizance. You are aware. And in that, for some reason, we want to wake up.